Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey EU Startups, if you're running a startup like me, you have more than enough on your plate. So when a prospect asks if your company is ISO 27001 or SOC 2 compliant, you're probably thinking, how the heck are we going to do this? We don't have the time, we don't have the manpower, and we definitely don't have the know-how. That's where Sitel comes in. With our automated platform and in-house expert to manage the entire process for you, you'll get compliant super fast. Compliance has never been easier.
So if you need help with compliance, visit sitale.ai/EU startups. That's sitale.ai/EU startups for $1,000 off your first framework. Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups podcast. My next guest is Michael Hornaus, CEO of Tractive, the world's most trusted GPS tracker for pets that recently achieved $100 million ARR. Michael, congrats and welcome on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
Michael, so let's get right on it. Hitting 100 million euros or dollars ARR is a big deal. Few subscription companies even, you know, get close to it. How does it feel to hit that milestone, and how do you keep your team fired up to chase the next big thing?
Well, it feels great, especially with us. We have been working towards this for actually 12 years. We founded the business over 12 years ago. Maybe a little bit of an untypical way on how we started. Not really the Silicon Valley way. Much more the Austrian way. We bootstrapped the business for the most part. And so we have seen this milestone a long time coming, but once you actually hit it, I think it's it feels good. It feels like a big achievement, and it's something, again, we've worked very hard for. And as you have said, there's not a lot of companies, especially in the consumer space, in the B2C space, that actually ever get there. And so how we motivate our team, I think for us, it's we keep telling the team we're here, right? Because that's true. We are a global market leader, but it's a tiny little that we have accomplished from a huge, huge market of cats and dogs, right? So we're not limited by competition or by market size because it's still super early days, right? And it's now is the time to win. And so I think with a good team atmosphere, a good company culture, and a happy team, and we try to do a lot for the team as well, we really try to keep the team motivated as well as us as management motivated.
Mm-hmm. Michael, you mentioned that you built, like, Tractive was almost completely bootstrapped in a world, you know, which is obsessed with VC cash. What was the hardest call you had to make to keep things lean and stay cash flow positive?
Yeah, so for us, I think we had the advantage and disadvantage at the same time that we founded the business out of Austria. And so first of all, when you're in Austria, you know you have to think global immediately, or at least add more countries, because otherwise the market by definition is comparatively small. And when we founded the business in 2012, there was not really any VC money around here in Austria, very, very limited funds in general for Europeans, let alone for anyone in Austria. So what we have decided from day one is to build the business very lean, to look to get first revenues as soon as we can. And we were always frugal in what we spent. We didn't spend on marketing, on things we couldn't afford. We didn't spend on things that we didn't really need. And this frugality, to a certain degree, is still in our business. So we were forced from day one to look at unit economics. And once we have started to scale and to roll out and to go to North America, for instance, for us, or to the US, we already came with a fantastic set of unit economics and with a sense of healthy cash flows, or how healthy cash flows can actually be, or in order to survive. So that really forced us to do this. And so A, we had a business model that's cash flow friendly. And B, we had this mindset from day one to not overspend and to think twice before we spend. And that was very helpful. And we once raised funds in 2021. We never touched the money, luckily. So it was good war chest for us. Mm-hmm. And we thought we would need more money to get into the US market and to scale there. But we started healthy as well. Mm-hmm. And it's already our biggest market by now. And so again, we had investors at some point in early 2021 that said, you raised funding, so you better spend this money. A few months later, they already told us, you're amazing that you don't need to touch the money. And obviously now everybody's happy about us being cash flow positive and not overspending.
It is indeed amazing. I can imagine you've poured every euro back into your products and, you know, and build a killer company culture along the way. How do you actually juggle, you know, making cool stuff and keeping people excited to come to work every day?
Well, I think to a certain degree, the one helps the other, right? So obviously, mm-hmm. as you can imagine, we have a lot of team members that are super obsessed with pets. They want to do something in the pet space and work in the pet space. So it's a passion for a lot of people to work on this, right? Others have a passion for tech. And others, again, just love to work on a consumer product because they have been maybe developers at some other company where they wrote some kind of code somewhere on the back end that never really was something that they could explain to someone. In our case, regardless where they work on our stack, people can go home and can tell their parents or grandparents or friends, I am working on something for cats or for dogs, and it's going to make the world a better place. Yeah. And that's something that excites a lot of people. So, and it's cutting edge technology. Nobody has ever built such small cellular connected devices that do so many sensors that we have in this place and at scale. And it's something that where we basically are on a new ground every day. And I think that's what motivates me. And that's certainly what also motivates a lot of team members.
This is amazing. Michael, you mentioned the US, that it became Tractive's biggest market in just like, I don't know, 3.5 years. How did you crack such a massive and competitive market so fast?
Yeah, so for us, I think the important way to understand is when we founded the business, we focused on Europe first. We said, if we win the European market or Europe as a market, it's going to be easier for us to go to the US market with one additional country and currency and a language we already support. It's going to be easier for us than for a US player to come to Europe with all the fragmentation and distribution and currencies and languages and different cultures. And that's definitely something that was a good decision that we have made back then. And when we went to the US, we already had, as I mentioned before, we had the healthy unit economics. So we knew how much a customer costs and how much the product costs. And we had very lean processes and set up a very lean structure to do this. And this really helped us. And I would say it has been a disadvantage that there's not a lot of competitive players. There's a few competitors, and I think some of them are doing a really good job also to grow. But it's a very new category. So a lot of pet parents don't know that our product category even exists, right? That there is products where you can, A, as you mentioned, track GPS location of the dogs, but B, and a lot of the things that we do now is track the health and look at health monitoring in order to identify if something's wrong with your cat or dog ahead of time. So we basically tell you if your dog is getting sick or if anything else is outside of normal behavior for your dog.
So you actually have got like trillions of data points on pets. What's the wildest or most unexpected thing you've learned about our furry friends?
Well, there's a lot of different things I think that are interesting, right? It's also there is books around what's healthy activity for a certain breed or for a certain dog or calories burned or what is a good sleep for a beagle and stuff like this. But it turns out that so many dogs are not pure breed. And as soon as you're in the mixed breed world or with different ages and different conditions, there is not one fits all number. We don't have in the pet space the 10,000 steps that that you know possibly from the human space where you say you should do 10,000 steps a day and it's healthy, right? this notion doesn't exist because you can't just look at steps for dogs with different sizes and breeds and all kinds of things. So what we look at is, we look at your individual dog's history. We build a baseline to understand your dog. How much does your dog sleep? When does your dog sleep? How often does your dog wake up, right? Things like this. And then we identify a profile for your dog so we actually know when something's outside of the ordinary. Mm-hmm. And then we mesh up this data with all the data from other three-year-old beagles or two-year-old Rottweilers or whatever your dog is. So we really kind of like learn from two sides. One is the baseline of your dog and one is the peer group. And we mesh that up. And this gives us a very unique advantage on really telling you things that you wouldn't otherwise know about your dog.
Right. Michael, so your tech can spot potential health issues in pets before owners even notice. What's next for this? Like, could it go beyond tracking into full-on pet healthcare?
So, well, there's a few things, right? We very clearly are not and don't intend to be or build a medical product. What we want to be is an essential companion device that you as a dog owner or as a cat owner say, this is a no-brainer. I will have this. Costs me about 50 bucks or 50 euros and about 5 to 10 euros a month in order to get all this. We want to be the early warning system. We tell you something's different. Behavior has changed. Dog is waking up more often. That's an indication of pain or things like this. Right. And if we tell you that, we want you to, as the pet parent, to take the responsibility to say, I keep a close eye on my dog, or I actually have to do more than this. I have to see a vet or consult a vet if additional other things might basically appear or you actually notice some other changes in your dog's behavior as well. So we really want to leave this up to the pet parent. So it's not our intention to become a medical device or actually do kind of like provide care there, but we want to tell people or pet parents early so that they can actually do the right thing so that dogs eventually have treatment sooner, see a vet sooner, and at the end of the day, get older. That's kind of like the longevity is booming in the human world. And if you ask any dog owner or cat owner, they will tell you the same thing, that they want this for their pet, obviously, to be along their side as long as they can.
100%. Michael, like kind of getting back to, you know, how the company was built. You've built this company the Austrian way, right? Steering clear of the Silicon Valley playbook. What does that mean to you? And why do you think it's worked so well?
Yeah, so I think when I say we have built the business the Austrian way rather than the Silicon Valley way, is doesn't mean that one is better than the other. But what we have done is we always assume no external funding, and we always looked to find a business model where we have the cash ahead of time so we can use our own cash and the money that we make to actually continue to grow and build the product and to continue to grow out of our own cash flow. And this means that from day one, we have looked at where can we save money? How can we be efficient, right? How can we save money on components for our products, but still build the best product in the market, right? How can we build a lean team so that we are not 1,000 people at the revenue size that we are right now, but just 260, 270. That's roughly our headcount. And I think if you have this from day one, and if you think that way from day one, it's very easily instilled in the company culture as well, right? Nobody here flies business class or stays in 5-star resorts, right? That doesn't mean that we go to 1-star hotels, but everybody tries to be cost efficient. And we have a super nice campus. We do a lot for the team so that everybody's happy, and everybody should identify themselves as an important piece of the team and of the company. And that helps together also to keep a healthy company. We have never had to lay groups of people off for financial or company reasons. And I want to keep this way. And people appreciate that we are always there for them also when it's tougher. And I think we get a lot back through that as well.
Yeah. So your team clearly loves what they do. And I appreciate what you're saying, and I really love this kind of company culture and how it's all working out for you. But what's one thing you never compromise on when hiring new talent?
Well, when we hire, I think we always have the notion of, is this person that we bring in a bar raiser? And by that, what we internally mean is this person better in one or most regards in an ideal case than the average of the team? So what we want to do is, if we want to bring someone onto our team, we want the average quality of our team to grow. And this is also something that we have done from the beginning. We have a lot of applications, luckily, and can really, for most roles, pick who we want to work with. So we are very picky, right? And the first interview is an interview with HR, looking at culture fit, at company fit, and we decline people right there. This doesn't mean that the person is a bad person versus a good person, but if we feel like this person is not a fit for us as a team, as a culture, for whatever reason, then we're not looking further at the people. So for me, a culture fit, somebody that shares the values. And if your first question is, can I fly business class or not, to say one example that I've had before, or
probably not a good fit.
Then we typically say, hey, you know what? You might be a better fit for whatever, corporate world or somewhere else, right? And so I think it's culture fit is something we never sacrifice on.
You've said Tractive gives dogs and cats a voice. Is there a particular story of a pet and owner that hits you in the feels and made you go, like, this is why we do what we do?
In fact, this is every day we receive from customers stories on where our devices help them, right? And literally, just a few days ago, there was a video that somebody sent me where their dog escaped in somewhere in Italy in the mountains. And thanks to our device, they knew where the dog was, but it was snowed in and nobody could get there. So they would even get the helicopter to rescue the dog, right? Those are the things where the owner said they would have never, ever been able to A, know where the dog is, and P, get there.
Right.
Without the Tractive device, right? That's kind of like on the location side. But we get on the health side. We send health alerts to people, and a lot of them every day respond to us with, I didn't even notice something was wrong. Based on the health alert that we've received, we saw a vet, and then ABC was diagnosed, right? And if that's the case, and even if this doesn't take the health condition away from the pet, the sooner you diagnose something, the sooner you can treat it, the healthier and the better the pet will be down the line. And that's something that where we have thank you notes in the hundreds every week. And that's something that I think that I see myself and that our team sees. And that's kind of like, we also share those internally in regular meetings where we kind of like show some of those customer stories and messages to also internally show that people really kind of like, we are making a difference. We are making an impact. And people's lives are way better because our product exists. And I think that's something that, again, back to your previous point, something that really motivates the team and team members.
Mm-hmm. Michael, we just came to the hardest question of this show. Cats or dogs?
Well, I guess for my part, I have been, I would consider myself more a cat person, although we started with a lot of dog products initially. but I think it, as with most everyone, this typically starts with who you grow up with, whether you grew up with cats or whether you grew up with dogs. And some people say, I don't think cats are pets anyways, right? And others say, I would never want a dog. I think, if you ask me, I like dogs, but I'm more a cat person. How about you?
I love dogs. I'm totally a dog person. I would. I had dogs in the past when I was a child growing up. Maybe also that, as you said, like, depends who you like grow up with, dogs or cats. But, currently no dog, but soon I think, because my daughter already started asking me for one. I think in like 1, 2, 3 years, maybe we're gonna get there. Michael, you've said that Tractive is just scratching the surface. What's coming next that's going to blow our minds in the world of pet tech?
Well, in general, I think the pet tech market is comparatively, not the market, but the number of companies in this world is comparatively small. So I would certainly hope for getting more companies doing something. The pet space is still very non-digital if you compare it to the human health and the health and fitness space. So there's space for a lot of players that kind of like tackle pet tech from various angles. What we're going to continue to strive for is to become a no-brainer companion device that you are going to take because it gives, as you said, it gives the dogs or cats a voice. It tells you ahead of time if something's wrong, and you basically at the end of the day buy peace of mind for your dog. And that's something we want to continue to deliver to. We're looking at certain vital signs that we are going to measure very soon with our with actually also existing devices in the fields. We'll look at respiratory rate, resting heart rate, where we, again, not try to be a medical device, but we identify patterns. We see how your dog's resting heart rate is developing over time. And if it's outside a certain range, we will let you know. It's just one more parameter for us to give you the early indication or the warning. Let's look at your dog better. Ensure your dog is eating well. Make sure you exercise your dog well. And that's really our aim. And for us, it's all about creating category awareness, telling people that this product category exists and that it's very affordable to have this kind of product. And I think we've come a long way over 6-7 generations of devices. And I think, it should already be a no-brainer, hopefully, for everyone who thinks about the dog like yourself in the next 2 or 3 years.
Amazing. I love it. Everyone, clap for Michael. This is a wrap. Thanks so much for joining me on the show. It's been lovely to have you. I really love what you guys are doing. Keep doing that, please. And once I'm going to get a dog, I'm going to also join the people that are using your device for sure. Michael, thanks so much. Really insightful. I think the audience will love it. And I hope to see you soon.
Appreciate the invite. Thank you, Martin.